O namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
O namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
O namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
O namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Kashyapa uvacha.
Kṛta
śokānuta
pena
sadyat pratyavamarśanāt bhagavat yurumānāt
ca
bhave mai api chādarāt putrasya eva cha putranam bhavitaikak suta satamatah gasyanti yadyashak shudham bhagavad yashasa samam Kashyapa uvacha.
The learned Kashyapa said,
Kṛta Śoka, having lamented, Anutapena,
by penitence,
Sadyaha,
immediately. Is that necessary? Pratyava Marshanat.
By proper deliberation.
Bhagavati.
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Uru.
Great.
Manat.
Adoration.
Cha.
And.
Bhave.
Unto Lord Shiva.
Unto Lord Shiva.
Mayi api.
Unto me also.
Cha.
And.
Adarat. By respect.
Putrasya.
Of the son.
Eva.
Certainly.
Cha.
And.
Putranam.
Of the sons,
Bhavita,
shall be born.
Ekaha,
one.
Satam,
of the devotees.
Mataha,
approved.
Gasyanti,
will broadcast.
Yat,
of whom?
Yashaha,
recognition.
Shudham,
transcendental.
Bhagavat,
of the personality of Godhead.
Yashasa,
with recognition.
Samam,
equally.
Translation by Srila Prabhupada.
The learned Kashyapa said, because of your lamentation, penitence, and proper deliberation, and also because of your unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your adoration for Lord Shiva and me, one of the sons, Prahlad, of your son, Hiranyakashipu, will be an approved devotee of the Lord, and his fame will be broadcast equally with that of the Personality of Godhead. Next verse, there's no purport here.
Yogair hemaiva durvarnam bhavayishyanti sadavah nirvairadi biratmanam yachilamanuvartitum.
Translation. In order to follow in his footsteps, saintly persons will try to emulate his character by practicing freedom from animosity, just as the purifying processes rectify gold of inferior quality. Purport. yoga practice, the process of purifying one's existential identity, is based mainly on self-control. Without self-control, one cannot practice freedom from animosity. In the conditional state, every living being is envious of another living being. But in the liberated state, there is absence of animosity. Prahlad Maharaj was tortured by his father in so many ways. Yet after the death of his father, he prayed for his father's liberation by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He did not ask any benediction that he might have asked, but he prayed that his atheistic father might be liberated. He never cursed any of the persons who engaged in torturing him at the instigation of his father. Prahlad Maharaj is the perfect example of tolerance, even when his own father was trying to kill him, of tolerance and of compassion. Prahlad refused to be trained up in the attitude of seeing people as his friends and enemies. In other words, he refused to be, to have his consciousness directed toward politics. Usually, we are susceptible to the influences that are imposed upon us. When we associate with pious people, we become pious. When we associate with bad people, we become bad. We're not very strong about maintaining our integrity. We just go along with whatever we're surrounded by. Therefore, we have to try to stay in good association because of our susceptibility. But Prahlad is so unique that even in the midst of the worst association, he didn't compromise. He didn't, when surrounded by politically inclined people, those who see friends and enemies, who think in terms only of manipulation and of quarrel, he refused to think like that, to absorb their consciousness. Because he was absolutely fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, in remembrance of the Lord. A symptom of someone who actually has nishtha, firm faith, in the efficacy and the value of being Krishna conscious, is not at all inclined towards sinful activities. The natural condition of the spirit's soul is to be free from enmity. This is an unnatural condition, a diseased condition, this envy and this quarrel of the material world, seeing enemies. Some who are influenced by the mode of passion want to fight their enemies. Others who are in the mode of ignorance more want to avoid their enemies. They consider themselves the victims, and therefore they just want to stay low and be safe from those who can destroy them. The weak try just to avoid their enemies. The strong try to defeat their enemies. But both groups are thinking in terms of other people being their enemies. Transcendental soul of the caliber of Prahlad just doesn't think like that. And therefore he's completely protected. Lord Vishnu protected Prahlad against impossible odds. No one else could survive what Prahlad survived. And he survived without suffering at all. He survived without being at all harmed. Yasmin stito na dukena guru napi prachalyate. Being situated in actual Krishna consciousness, one is not disturbed even by the most painful and agitating situation. Mentally agitating, physically painful, it doesn't matter. One who is actually fixed in remembering Krishna is not disturbed by these things. Not disturbed. Not just that he, by willpower, grits his teeth and tolerates, but he doesn't even feel the pain. That's the way to measure how Krishna conscious we actually are, looking at ourselves. If we're easily agitated, then we're not as great as we might think we are. We haven't made enough advancement. We actually should aim at that goal, that we become so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that the material world doesn't faze us at all, that nothing disturbs us. That is actual Krishna consciousness. So all the aspiring devotees look to the example of Prahlad. They cannot expect to be of his caliber. He cannot be imitated. But his example can be followed. We have to practice compassion and tolerance. Amanina manadena kirtaniyak sadahari. If we want to be constantly engaged in worshipping Krishna, in glorifying Krishna, then we have to rectify the way we deal with people in this world. We can't just simply have our head in the clouds and not correct our attitude toward other living entities. Krishna is looking at that. He doesn't take seriously our worship if we're abusive to the other creatures who are also his servants. So we have to be able to, Lord Chaitanya's formula is amanina manadena. We have to not expect honor from anybody. This is not what we should consider valuable, any more than we should be interested in collecting piles of money or piles of pig stool. You know, neither should be, you know, Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said all the honor and respect in the world is equal to a pile of pig stool. So no more than we should be interested in collecting a big pile of pig feces and consider that such a valuable thing to have, we should similarly not be interested in collecting honor. We shouldn't be looking for it. We shouldn't be calculating how we can manipulate the situation so that we get it. People respect us. I should dress properly. I should act properly so that people respect me. This is the calculation how to collect pig stool. So amanina, don't look for respect. It may be forced upon you. Like Madhavendra Puri was trying to run away from honor, but it was always chasing him wherever he went. That's Krishna's arrangement. But the pure devotee is not looking for it. He's trying to avoid it. He considers it poison. People worship me, then I will become proud and fall down. So he's terrified of being worshipped, honored. Whereas the materialist is only looking for that. How he can advance his position. Amanina, and then on the other hand, manadena. Not just be a misanthrope. Avoid all human beings because they're either going to be nice to me or bad to me, and both are bad. So therefore I'll avoid everybody and I'll be grouchy and terrible to everyone. No, manadena. You have to not only be free from the desire for respect, you have to be ready to give respect and honor to everybody. You have to be nice to everybody. That's the hard part. You know, to be a misanthrope is easy, but to be decent to everybody, that's hard. Especially to all the people who rejected Krishna and want to be materialists. You have to be nice to them too. But that is jiva daya. Prime qualification for actually attracting Krishna's interest. You have to show some compassion to the living entities. This is why it's a good idea to devote a good part of your energy to the preaching endeavors. Because that's what will attract Krishna's attention, that you're showing compassion to other living entities. You're not just working for yourself, for your own perfection. But you're risking your own success, your own peace of mind, your own time and energy to help others. The selflessness, selfless service in the line of preaching is what attracts Krishna's attention the quickest, especially in the modern age when that kind of welfare work is required desperately. The world is going to hell very quickly. This phrase is going to hell in a wheelbarrow.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu needs his devotees to do something to help these unfortunate conditioned souls. Prabhupada saw that. He learned that from his spiritual master. The preaching is the essence. Is that the right phrase? Okay. That's what qualifies us as mature devotees, devotees that Krishna will recognize. Krishna will give credit to anyone who tries to give some attention to him. Srinvatak Shrakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Vidi Antakstohi Abhadrani Vidunoti Surit Satam. Krishna is the friend of his devotees, and he'll accept you as his devotee if you simply try to hear about him. Chant his name, hear the Bhagavatam, you know, give some effort toward that. Krishna will recognize you as devotee. But if you want special recognition, if you want Krishna to actually be pleased with you, then you have to do more. At least, that's what Srila Prabhupada told us, and we're followers of Srila Prabhupada, so we have to, therefore, try to do something to assist the preaching mission. That makes our life justified. How can we justify living in this modern world? What are we doing here? We can say we're worshiping Krishna. What kind of worship? Cooking chapatis for Krishna? He's got hundreds of thousands of goddesses of fortune performing arti for him and cooking for him in Goloka, in Vaikuntha. What does he need our chapatis and our ghee lamps? He doesn't need. That's not impressive to Krishna. That doesn't interest him very much. Of course, the attempt to show some loving service, that interests him. But why not something that'll actually please Krishna in a substantial way? What can we do? What service can we do in the material world that can't be done better in the spiritual world? I can only think of two things, either killing demons or preaching. Those things, those two activities don't, there's not much use for them in the spiritual world. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's period, so there's not any killing of demons going on, at least until Lord Kalki takes over, when he's on duty. Then we'll be killing demons. But during the period of Mahaprabhu, we don't kill demons. We preach. That's the only service that can be done better in this world than in the spiritual world. And it's really our own only justification for still living here, for not having gone back to Godhead already. Our only excuse. And Prabhupada saw that. He modeled this whole institution on the basis of preaching, to uplift us and to help the whole world. Okay, so that's the mission of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments?
Yeah. Yes. And that the passionate people, they fight enemies, and ignorant people, they avoid the sources.
Yeah.
But isn't it in Bhagavad Gita also mentioned that the wise people, they go around the sources of misery, they avoid also. So what is the difference between, I mean...
The ignorant people, they avoid trouble, they avoid conflict, they avoid stronger people. But it's not that they avoid the sources of misery. They jump right into them, into intoxication, illicit sense gratification. They're getting seriously into trouble more and more. They're degrading into animal forms of life by their indulgence in sinful activities. The pious people avoid quarrels, and they also avoid sinful activities. That's the difference. They avoid everything material as much as possible. Person in the mode of goodness only involves himself in material things as much as necessary and tries to make those material things relatively good ones, you know, positive ones. So that's a big difference between being in the mode of goodness and being in the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance, you're attracted to the filth. Mode of goodness, you're attracted to things that are relatively pure. They both avoid fights, but for different reasons. Also, often people in the mode of ignorance like to fight also. It's sort of mixed, you know, people are in mixed modes. Some people, man who's in the mixed mode of ignorance and passion, behaves, you know, both as a, he tries to fight, but his fighting is very degraded, low-class fighting. Just brawling in the street. Not noble fighting. Yes.
Another question, you said that sometimes people dress in a particular way or act in a particular way to gain some fame.
Yes.
So, what does it mean that we should not dress properly or should we should not behave properly?
Prabhupada said we should dress like sadhus, not like babus. Mm-hmm. Yeah. not you know, we should dress nicely, but not, you know, foppishly. What are we trying to do? Attract, you know, the ladies' attention, or you know, win a prize for beauty contest. You know. So we should, you know, dress nicely, but not over luxuriously, just to, you know, to make people think we're very nice, beautiful, and well, okay, but
orange clothes and big turban and something, right? And big beard and maybe.
But that's also to make an impression on people. A lot of times the dress is there, but not much consciousness behind it. But because we're representatives of Prabhupada, and no matter what we're doing, if we identify with Prabhupada's movement, we're preachers. So we should dress in such a way that people think that we're, you know, we're together and decent. So if you want to identify with Prabhupada, you should tuck your dhoti in the back and so on. You know, those devotees who walk around in lungis, that's that they're saying, I don't want to be associated or identified with ISKCON, basically. Unless they're sannyasis. Yeah. Yeah.
What does it actually mean, a babu? Because I noticed that a lot of devotees jokingly call
each other rich, fancy gentleman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if they call you Baba, that's perfection, that's father. But babu is a, you know, big shot.
Isn't it in the Lamrita is also say Abhai Babu somewhere? It's
because Prabhupada was a respectable, you know, businessman, so that was his social position. He was, you know, a grown-up, responsible, you know, member of society. So, yeah, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati called him Babu and treated him like that. But that was his loving dealing with him. Actually, there was an intimate relationship on the spiritual level. But because Prabhupada was not, you know, one of the original members of the Gaudiya Mutt, and he was living on the outside, the other devotees didn't expect that he should be shown special attention. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati took the opportunity, well, he's a, you know, a respectable man, therefore we show him respect for that reason. It is an excuse for showing intimate dealings with, for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to act intimately with Prabhupada, because he's a babu, you know, a man with money in his pockets. You know, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati would sit Prabhupada next to him on the couch and talk to him, you know, as an equal. And the other disciples were puzzled, you know, why is he doing this, you know, with this grihasta? But there was a spiritual connection there. Okay. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.